Welcome to the Mostly Pod Out Night. Mostly, I'm Graveyard, joined by my co-host, Salem.
Hello.
This is episode 135 of our weekly All Things Horror podcast. And to celebrate the month of February, we are having two episodes of V-Day, Venereal Disease Day. Oh, wait. Valentine's Day Spectacular. And for the
VD Day.
VD Day, yes. And this is episode two of our two themed Valentine's themed episodes. And we are doing something that we haven't really done before. Technically TV show with two episodes.
Well, a show that has episodes that are movies.
Yes. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Two episodes from Into the Dark, the two Valentine's Day, and with the oh so great from the creators of the Puniverse movie, Cupid.
Oh, is it the same people?
It
I
is.
Should not have been. I should have known that. I should have known that.
I looked it up.
I did not know.
Oh, shit. So prepare to sidestep some flightless arrows. And maybe if you're lucky, get to see the arrows at all going to the person. Because that movie was fantastic. So
we were talking. It's great.
Yes. We were talking about the Down episode from 2019. The My Valentine episode from 2020 of Into the Dark, and Cupid from 2020, which you think was made in the 90s. I'm going to say that right now.
No, I wouldn't say that. I would say it's just made cheaply.
That too.
And that also, too. Like, make up your mind. Are you English or are you American?
Yes.
It's like, what the fuck?
We'll discuss what country they're from. Don't worry. In that movie. All right, so I'm not going to lie. There's not a lot that happens in Down in 2019. Essentially,
there's honestly, not a lot that happens in My Valentine either.
No, there's really not. So there'll be quick recaps of this, but essentially, Down takes place as a woman working at a high rise in city, U.S.
Yeah, I was trying to figure it out. I'm like, what city is that? I don't know.
It's probably Vancouver, and realistically, it's probably supposed to be New York, though.
I don't know. It's not New York because she's flying to New York.
Oh.
So that is the one city we know that it isn't. So that's other than that, it could be any other city that's not within driving distance of New York. So let's probably not Boston.
Let's go Seattle.
Sure. No, it didn't have a Space Needle.
Hmm. Let's just go Vancouver then.
Oh, yeah. Some movie that I don't know. Some city I don't know the skyline of.
Yeah. It's not Chicago. Right. I know that.
Yeah, exactly. It is not Chicago. Seattle, I know the Space Needle. There's a lot of cities I don't know, but that is one of them I do know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mostly from Shadowrun. Seattle skyline is part of the Shadowrun marketing stuff.
Oh, there you go. But she gets in the elevator at the 49th floor. Some guy gets an elevator like 44th, and then they're going down into the basement of like parking garage two, you know. And so it's the elevator then stops, and they kind of start like bonding with each other, trying to figure out what's going on here and talk about, you know, what they do on the floor. You know, she's some, I don't remember, some business person working around.
I don't think they ever say what she is, but I mean, I would guess like some kind of lawyer or accountant, yeah, or something. I don't know. Somebody important business wise.
Yeah, but essentially Valentine's Day is on a Friday and they have Monday off for President's Day, so it's a long ass weekend. And she's flying out to New York to reconcile with her boyfriend. We'll just spoil that plot point now. And so the guy's like, yeah, I'm like, if you said, you know, crypto bro, I would have said yes. That's the allure he's trying to give off, the illusion, right?
Well, I think, yeah, he's like a modern salesman.
Yeah. So anyway, they're trapped there for a while. They've like, hey, on Thursday, start to get into like the cheap wines, figuring out what they're like. So just small talk to begin with, and eventually like, oh, I have to pee's in her thermos, and then they start playing like, you know, tell me this, and like it's to each other, who knows how long we'll be here. And eventually they talk about like, and you know, the guy brings up, let's talk about sex. She's like, oh, what's the weirdest place you've been? And she's like, oh, the library. He's like, yeah, I haven't done any place weird. And then like, hey, I'm horny, let's bank. And so they do. And then after the banging, he goes psycho. his mask slips.
Well, I wouldn't say it slips yet. I would just say like he thinks it's going too well.
Mm-hmm.
So he breaks out the L word.
He does. I love
it. And yeah, so this is like a casual elevator hookup. And then he, yeah, throws out the L word and she's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Rightfully so. Like, holy shit, calm down. And yeah, that's, of course, he gets upset. And then, yeah, like you said.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I just didn't notice you around the office. I've been following you and watching you for a while. It's like, whoa, all right, now this is getting bad.
Yeah, so now it's a, not only is he a stalker, but he like essentially kidnaps her.
Yeah, yeah. So the big twist is he planned this entire thing because he's the security guard at the desk at the, you know, the high rises that have the key cards that you don't honestly pay much attention to. I know I did when I was working in one.
Well, if the security person is working the front desk, if you work in the building, like you might talk to them the first day.
Mm-hmm.
But like if you've been working there for any length of time, like why would you ever need to talk to the front desk security?
Unless your badge doesn't work. That's the right. only reason.
Again, but you know, but even then it's probably somebody in your own office that would take care of it.
Yeah. You're right.
So, but I would say like that would be the only time to do that. So yeah, I mean, it's not that odd that you don't have a relationship with the front desk people at a building that you work in.
Especially that has at least 49 floors. Yeah.
Right. If it's an automated building, like the likelihood that you're going to have a run in with staff is very low.
Correct. Correct. So yeah, he kind of just lays it all out and he's like, yeah, I stopped this. I planned this all out. And then they end up breaking the key because he had stopped the elevator on purpose. Right. And like I said, then the mask just slips all the way off and he's like, starts like just getting violent and angry and choking her. He's like, oh, you know, you don't really want your boyfriend. What about us? Blah, blah, blah.
And well, there's one thing that I don't understand. This always happens in movies and I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
If a key breaks off in the lock,
mm-hmm.
it's not broken.
You can turn it still. Yes.
Right. Unless it's like a really hard lock to turn, but even then, if you like,
unless it's the wrong key,
right? Yeah, yes. Obviously, if it's the wrong key and it's broken off in the lock, then you're fucked, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But like, you know, if it's the right key in the lock and then you break off the top, you can still like turn it, unless it's like broken deep in there or something, right? And yeah. Then you can. But again, if they're in an elevator, I understand you don't have the tools to do that, but I'm sure you could find a way. But no, it clearly shows it's sticking out like in half an inch.
Yes.
So you just turn it with your hand. Like, I don't understand why they're like, oh, it's broken. Like, mm-hmm. no, like that's not the cheese work.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, the other guys didn't come. You're like, nope. I told them to take the weekend off. It's just me. Ha ha.
Yeah. Like, don't they have a manager?
There's not only ever one person. There's maintenance person always on.
Right. I'm just saying, but like, don't they have a fucking manager that has to write their schedules?
Mm-hmm.
So how would the manager be like, oh yeah, okay, this one guy is gonna work 3 days straight without a break?
Yep. No, it's not gonna happen,
right?
But anyway, so she's like, hey, we gotta climb out. She's like, hey, I'll boost you out. He's like you're just gonna leave me. She's like, no, I won't. Gets on top of the elevator, then proceeds to flick him off and then try to escape.
Right. I don't like that part. I don't get like what she just could have kept going
and not done anything.
Like that was the plan. Mm-hmm. The plan was for her to keep going and go around and let him out. If she would have just kept not, going and not like had to be a, you know, an ass and flick him off, he would have never known until she was well out of the elevator shaft.
Correct. Correct. But she does that. So then he gives chase up to her and they essentially like suplex each other back into the elevator.
Right.
Right. And they're both kind of like knocked unconscious. And while this is going on, the other security guy that was there, he's like, hey, I'm going to bring this girl to the office where I work as security guard.
Yeah, I'm a security guard. Let me bring my attractive girlfriend after like being at the club all night mm-hmm. to see my fucking desk job as a security guard. Like, who the fuck would care?
No.
If you were like a security guard, at, like a cool museum and you could like go there at night or something like that. Okay, that's interesting. It's just a fucking office building.
Empty high rise.
Yeah, there's nothing there.
Right. But he sees this going on there. He goes up and then he's like, hey, let me help you out. The guy wakes up and then proceeds to hold him as the elevator then cuts him in half.
Right. Like
he's there just as a body count.
Yeah.
So essentially, she's unconscious. The guy, security guy, the bad one, you know, essentially kills the guy, dumps his body at the bottom of the shaft, and proceeds to kill the girlfriend that he brought with and dump her in the bottom of the shaft, changes his clothes, throws to the bottom of the shaft because no one ever checks the bottom of the shaft elevator, apparently, in this city, and then proceeds to then like bring the unconscious woman back to his house. I don't know if he ever explicitly stated there.
Here's my guess is. My guess is he threw all that stuff down there so that they wouldn't find it right away.
Yeah.
And he probably his fallback plan was probably to just like knock her out, kidnap her, and keep her as a prisoner. And if that was his fallback plan, he probably had a place he was going to do that at that was probably not his house.
Mm. Yeah.
So my guess is he was bringing her there. And he knew that they wouldn't be able to find him there either. I mean, they probably would find him eventually, but he would, you know, people in that state of mind aren't
right.
They can plan ahead to a certain degree, like to get where they want to be at, but like, you know, long-term past that. No, they don't
have. No, the immediate. Yeah. There's like, this is the next 12 hours after that. I don't know.
Right. Exactly.
So anyway, he's like, oh man, I'm going to, you know, dump all her stuff. She's dead. And no, wait, she's not. She backs up the car into the dumpster, kind of crushing him inside of it as he's trying to do it. And she just kind of lights him on fire. End the movie.
Yay.
Yay. You know, I know, I think we both started kind of watching Into the Dark, like when it first started. I remember.
Well, yeah, you made me watch it. You kept telling me to watch it. So I was like, fine.
Yeah.
We would watch them as they came out because it was once a month.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know what Into the Dark is, Into the Dark was a series. It was only around for like, what, a year and a half?
2 years, yeah.
2 years, yeah. So it's essentially a series. It was like one episode per month. The episode is an entire film.
Mm-hmm.
And the film is based on a holiday in that month.
Correct.
So, yeah. You know, January, New Year's, February, Valentine's Day, you know, March, like St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, we had like Arbor Day somewhere in there.
National Pet Day. Right, yeah. It's like, right, all kinds of whatever holiday in that month you want to make an episode out of, you can. And they did. And it was like, yeah, again, like I said, it was like, what, 18-ish episodes, I think? 20-ish?
They ended up with 24.
Okay.
So there was a huge ass break in season two.
Right.
And then they came back for two more, and that was it. And
right.
No one ever said anything else about it after that.
No, and then it just stopped. And I was like, I wonder how many they had, like, in production that they just, like, stopped. I don't know. It was interesting. I don't know whatever happened, but it did stop. But it was an interesting concept.
Oh, yeah. I thought it worked really well. But, like I said, I remember watching this. Then I'm going to throw this out there right now. I personally feel like this one is a strong one, but the next one, kind of the weakest one, I'd say, of season two.
Yeah, I can see that. I'm trying to remember. I think it's on Hulu. I think Hulu is like the official owner of it, but it's been there. They have spread around to other things as just plain movies that I've seen too. Mostly on, if you have Hulu or whatever, they're all on there. If you look up Into the Dark, it's literally listed as a show.
But I was really intrigued with the idea of doing this. Like, this is a great way when the show started to like have people have a movie and do different actors, do different directors and writers and all that stuff. Like, it's a great way to showcase horror movies.
Well, it's a cool concept because you can take an indie filmmaker and attach them to an already existing franchise to get them a little bit more visibility. Right. So like they're making their own film, right? But you're fitting in with a theme of the rest of the show. So people that are watching the show will watch your movie just because it's part of the theme, you know, whatever. Rising tide raises all ships, as they say. So
right. Yeah. Like I said, I wish the show had continued because I thought it did great stuff. But
yeah. No, I did. I did. I had some stupid shit for sure. But like there was I think more good than bad overall.
Yeah, and I thought that like this was an interesting episode just because it showcased a lot of just like you know closed spaces with like toxic incel almost.
Well, yeah, it's exactly what it is. It's all about obsession and like what you want things to be versus what they really are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because when you watch a person, right, and you think you know who they are based on like what little you have seen them interact with others and stuff like that, but you don't know that person.
Right.
And that's the thing is he put her up on, you know, in this weird, you know, state in his head, but he doesn't know who she really is or how she really acts in real life. You know, like what people she talks to or relationships she has, he doesn't know. He just just knows that he's obsessed with the vision of her.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's on the rewatch too. I think it holds up too. So, you know, I think I only watched them through once originally.
Yeah, no, I've only ever seen every episode once. And yeah, no, it was good. The second time it was still good.
Yeah. I think it's an interesting rewatch because you know where it's going to head and you see if you can kind of catch things beforehand too. See if you can see the mask slip a little bit before the eventual, you know, essentially two drops of it.
Right.
So, do you want me to do my highlights first?
Sure.
I mean, sure. Random elevator sex. I'm not sure that happens as much as people think it does. Maybe it does.
It is not a zero. It does happen sometimes.
Yeah. So it's interesting. I'm not sure that's like the best time to be doing that stuck in the middle of the elevator, but.
I also thought it was a missed opportunity for Aerosmith's Love in an Elevator to be played. There's not many songs about love in an elevator, and there is one, and it was not used. So
yeah. And essentially this being like a box episode, like the entire time in an elevator for the most part, you know, 90%, right? And I think it does it well. You know, just two people stuck in a box.
Correct.
I think that the twist of him just being just like, oh, you know, I had like a misdemeanor or whatever happened and I can't get a job, so I had to get this job. But like, I think the guy played both sides really well because, you know,
let's be fair. It wasn't a misdemeanor.
Well, but you know what I mean? Essentially. Yeah, right. Yeah. But I mean, like, I think the guy like played both sides of that character really well. I thought he did a good job playing that sales guy and then becoming the maniac. And of course, just setting the crazy ass fucking guy on fire. That's the way to do it. I enjoyed that. Those are my highlights. How about you?
I'll agree with, but I'll say the acting chemistry was good because this is like, again, there's really only two people.
Right.
And the other
two are there for bodies.
Right. Yeah. The other two are there as just kind of like spice, you know, to kind of up the stakes in the climax. But like, ultimately, if these two actors aren't one good and two like good with each other, this could have been a very, very painful experience. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If it was like Hayden Christensen and Natalie Portman being directed by George Lucas in this elevator, it would be a painful fucking hour and a half, right? But it's not. No, they play off each other very well. I mean, like, it's when they're, you know, kind of learning about each other and, you know, flirting and stuff in the beginning, and like even after the change, they still work together well. Like, he's crazy, she's like, you know, kind of the victim, but also defending yourself at the same time. They do great together. Like, I don't know if they practiced a lot or whatever, or if they, whatever, but the chemistry between them I thought was very good. If you get the twist of, you know, oh, he planned this whole thing. And then, yeah, the turn of, you know, who he really was, you know, he was like this, you know, not your typical, like, you know, loser guy who has always been in the shadows. And then gets obsessed with somebody, right? So nobody knows who he is. No, he was somebody. And then it was taken away from him, and that's why he needs to be seen again. It was an interesting, you know, twist that you don't normally get. Usually it's just some kind of schlubby person who nobody ever remembers.
Right.
This time, he was. Right. Yeah. Exactly. And this time it was different. And I mean, again, the whole concept of it. This is a concept that could easily have gone wrong. But luckily in this case, it did not. So
yep,
that's all I got.
Want you to roll your low points?
Yeah, so like a bone in the elevator, and apparently what got them there was him and his like bizarrely uninteresting story about how he boned some chick in his car.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, oh yeah, let's bone. I'm like, really? Mm-hmm. That's all it took to get you there was a bizarre story of him, like, you know, her putting her panties in the glove box or whatever.
Yeah.
Like some other chick that you don't know. Like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Got it. But yeah, the love bomb post coitus, like, wow, dude. I mean, like, you should know better. Everybody should know better. I mean, I don't care how sheltered you are. No, don't ever, ever do that. I mean, the whole penis chop scene was disturbing, I thought, because it's like you don't know if it happened or not for a minute.
Right, he's like, thank you for not mangling me.
But he's like, he like blacks out and then is like crying and sobbing. Uh-huh. And we don't find out that she didn't do it for like another minute or so. And you're like, oh shit, did he? Didn't he? You're like, what happened? That was an odd choice. And then poor Eddie.
Yep.
That got cut in half the elevator. Poor Eddie. Felt bad for him.
Yep.
The girl should have known better to go visit. Hey, you want to go visit my high rise office that's empty at night? Yeah, she would have like, no.
This is where I sit and look at the monitors.
Right.
Yay.
Yeah. What an exciting job. That's all I got.
As we said, the most blazing thing, as we said, giving him the middle finger instead of just leaving.
Right. Like, again, the plan was for her to climb up, get out the other door, come down and let him out. That was the plan. If she would have just followed the plan and then just fucking ran as soon as she was out of vision, he would not have known for like another, like how many minutes she would have been out of the building.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That was that. That's just, that is like a bad horror movie decision.
Right. It's just like, what? Like, I understand you want to fuck this guy up, but he's literally trapped.
Yep.
He's not going anywhere. You call the police. He can't get out.
Yeah. You're done.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and like I said, Eddie, poor Eddie, just there for a body. He was just being a nice guy. Him and his mustache.
Yeah, well, again, a really stupid idea for him to show up, but he genuinely did want to help them.
Yep. Yeah, and of course, you know, having to work in a high-rise office, I do not miss those days of having to work in a city like that and being... worrying about like being the last person in the building. It sucks. I hate it. It just brought bad memories for me. So
no thanks.
That's what I got. All right. So just like last time, our number of our heart shaped boxes out of 10. Salem, how many heart shaped boxes out of 10 do you give Down from 2019?
I mean, it's good, right? I rewatched it and it was. You know, just as interesting as it was when I watched it in 2019. So, I mean, a 7, you know, it was rewatchable ultimately. Mm-hmm. So 7 is fair.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I think this was a, you know, I think season one of Into the Dark was just solid the entire way through.
I don't know. Fucking Puka. Well, okay. Some of these episodes. don't let them oversell it to you.
Oh, season one is better than season two.
Correct. That's a true statement.
And this, like I said, this was still a strong one, and I didn't know how they were going to do Valentine's Day, and I think they did it really well, as we said. So I will give this 7.5 heart-shaped boxes out of 10. It's a good standalone movie that people need to watch outside of Into the Dark, if possible, as well. So
yeah, like I said, some of these would be good as just their own films. Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand you if it was a part of the franchise, you want to keep it there, but now that they're not going to make anymore, I think they should like let them branch out. But
yeah,
we'll see.
All right, so Salem, bring us through the pop star studded My Valentine episode.
Okay, so My Valentine, ultimately not a lot really happens in this film. I was trying to like, how do I like go over this? I guess there's really not much to embellish here, but
it's three sentences.
Yeah, so I'm gonna give you what happens and then I'm gonna fill in some flavor afterwards and then we'll just let it go. So ultimately what happened was is there's this girl, her name is Valentine Fox, who has like her own unique look of like this long blue hair and goofy makeup and shit. And she wrote a pop album and was performing and doing everything, you know, trying to make it big. And she had this like boyfriend slash manager who was like, again, trying to help her get there, ultimately became a controlling, manipulative, you know, abuser. And she eventually got the strength to leave him. But during the course of that toxic relationship, he had copyrighted all of her songs and he basically took a new girl, his new girlfriend, and made her perform those songs and then made her wear the same blue wig, the same kind of look and character that Valentine was, is now this new character, Treasure, with two Z's, I think, whatever. Yeah. So like she gets really big. And she like has like a number one song, like big money, like, you know, PR team, all that kind of stuff. And so Valentine is basically like pissed because, you know, this was her life's work.
Yep.
That got ruined. So like a couple of years goes by where she's in a really dark place and she finally gets to the point where she wants to just perform her music again, her own thing. Right. Whatever, doesn't matter if he sues her, whatever. She just wants to do it as kind of like a healing thing.
Right.
So her and her friend, who plays a guitar in an electronic band that doesn't have guitars in it, decide to, maybe she was just up there for moral support. That's fine. There was a guy, there was a band that we used to go see. There was two guys in the band. It was all electronic music. And we used to call the second guy the knob guy. And like the knob guy would literally like just leave the stage, go to the bar, get beers, like come back. And like, you know, the one guy is like into it, right? He's doing all kinds of shit. And he's like holding the beer in front of his face. Like, hey man, you want this beer? Like he would just have to put it down. But the knob guy just sitting there, we call him the knob guy because every once in a while he would just like turn a knob and nothing is happening. The knob is not doing anything, but he would just like turn a knob to make it look like he was doing something. I think he was just up there as like moral support or something. But anyway, and he would like walk off the stage and go talk to girls on the side, like while he's like doing songs and stuff. The guy was awesome. Anyway, maybe that's what she was. Maybe that's her purpose in the band is just moral support. I guess knowing what she's up there for, maybe that was what it was. Anyway, so now that Treasure is super big and the abusive boyfriend is her manager too, he contacts members of her fan club to go to this show to purposely harass her to make her feel bad about performing her own music. So we get like three people who are, I don't know, the most annoying people on the planet, maybe, to like heckle her.
Fair, yeah.
Yeah. To heckle her at her show. Mm-hmm. So she performs all her music and she feels great about it. You know, she does a good job, whatever. And the three people are like, oh my God, you're just, you know, copying Treasure. Because they don't obviously know the whole story. So she gets off stage. The boyfriend manager guy shows up to the venue, pays off the staff to one, close the place down early, and two, they leave as well. So like leave the place to them alone for the rest of the evening. And he gives them, I don't know, like $1,000 or so, whatever it is. Gives them a big stack of money. So they all leave. He confronts Valentine, you know, basically trying to like threaten to sue her, blah, blah, all this other kind of stuff, but also trying to convince her to come back to write the second album for Treasure.
Yeah, because she's like, she sucks at songwriting.
Right. Like, yeah, she's playing the songs that you wrote great, but she can't make her own music. We need you to write the second album. And she's, of course, like, go fuck yourself.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, rightfully so. So, like, the dude, like, freaks out and, I don't know, scuffle occurs and he stabs her guitar friend and she dies. So now, of course, things are now threatening. Treasure comes in. Treasure was like apparently waiting in the car. Treasure comes in and now she's a part of it too. And she's like very confused because she doesn't know what's going on. She thinks that this person is copying off of her as well because she doesn't know her. And over the course of the film, she comes to realize that, okay, she was 1.0, I'm 2.0. You know, she's like, you know, where did you get the idea for the blue hair? Where did you get the idea for all these songs? Where did you get, you know, like, he gave you all this stuff. He made you. And if, at first she's like, fuck you don't know me. And then, of course, over the course of the film, she realizes, okay, this guy is bad news.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the one guy that he paid off comes back to, like, see what's going on. They have another scuffle, and he kills him. I don't know how this guy's killing anyone. He weighs, like, 90 pounds.
Correct.
Like, and then people are afraid of him. Like, why are people afraid of this guy? Like, he looks like heroin chic. Like, you push him, and he'll fall over and, like, shatter, like, glass. But anyway, people are afraid of him. So they have, you know, this kind of scuffle that where they have the fan club people, like, watch the door to make sure nobody else comes in. And then he, like, keeps threatening her and keeps saying, like, you know, if you don't write a second album, I'm going to kill you, blah, blah, you know, threaten. And so at the end, it basically comes down to the point where Treasure realizes that being with him, she's probably going to get killed too, because he's, like, taking such pleasure from these murders that he's gonna kill everybody.
Yeah.
There's, like, another, like, the band that was on before Valentine, like, with, they're out in the car, like, boning the whole film, and then they come in later and he kills the guy. It's, and again, I think they're just there, like you said, to give the body count a higher number.
They are.
Yeah, that's like they come in at the last minute. But anyway, while that's all going on, Treasure finally goes, okay, I'm gonna kill him. And she, you know, kills him with the mic stand. And then what you think is the good ending, right? They're both gonna walk off and do their own thing, maybe be a duo or something, right? No, Treasure decides, well, I'm gonna kill you, and then I get everything.
Yep.
You know, not realizing that she can't write her own second album. So, like, yeah, she's going to have money right now, but, like, it's going to fade quick.
Yes.
So she tries to turn on Valentine, and Valentine, like, electrocutes her in a puddle of blood.
Yes. I don't all know how blood is.
I was going to say, like, I don't know how realistic that is, but so Treasure ends up dying, and then Valentine ends up just because Treasure is, like, basically an exact copy.
Mm-hmm.
She just becomes Treasure.
Yep.
And then goes on this thing of, like, how, oh, I'm gonna, you know, tell the world my truth now. I'm gonna stop being fake. And then she just starts acting like herself.
Yep.
Pretending like it's a big revelation for Treasure, and then she does her own thing after that.
Yes.
Movie over.
Yes.
See, I made that sound a lot longer.
Yes.
Than it really.
You could just say shitty version of Green Room.
I mean, yeah, you could say, like, yeah, guy confronts a girl who he copied to write a second album. She says no, chaos ensues. That's, there you go. That's the short version.
I mean, what was your first thoughts on this? And obviously rewatch then too.
I mean, obviously I left it all out, but there's a lot of songs. There's a lot of, like, goofy video performances of, like, Treasure, like, dressed up in all these outfits, like, singing songs. There's, like, I don't know. Apparently there was some pop person that did the soundtrack. I don't know who they are, but I don't know who any of them are. So me saying I don't know them doesn't mean anything. I don't know them.
I don't know them either, if that helps.
I mean, well, it means a little bit more because you have daughters, so.
There you go.
But I don't know. That might be a hipster thing. I don't know. Who knows? I don't know them, but that's it. But yeah, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of, like, I'll talk a little bit about that later. But yeah, there's a lot of, like, you know, cutbacks to flashbacks to Valentine being in that shitty relationship with him. And you kind of see how, you know, he was gaslighting her and abusing her and blah, blah, that kind of stuff. So that, again, it goes back and forth. We get the whole story over time, but, you know,
yeah,
it's... That's how you go. But I mean, it's an interesting kind of showcase of abusers and what they do and how you can recover from them.
Right.
I wouldn't say it's not quite as encompassing as, like, Jessica Jones season one was, but it's there. I mean, it's, you know, they try to follow the process.
Yeah. I was watching this and, like, did I really just purge most of this from my mind? And I think I did because of all the poppiness that was ensued to it. But yeah, it is a showcase of like, you know, the guy's like, oh, you hurt me. This is all about me. I'm the victim, and just being a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah, no, again, yeah, he's being an abusive manipulator, yeah. Gaslighting yeah. the fuck out of everybody around him. Yeah.
Yep. So yeah, it's, you know, not my favorite episode of Into the Dark by far.
No, I mean, it's an okay, I mean, as a character study, right? It's okay. Mm-hmm. It's just most of the like embellishing elements I hate. But that's because it's all about pop stars.
Yep.
I don't like pop stars stuff. So
yeah.
If you're into pop star stuff, you might fucking love this.
Yep. Maybe.
I don't.
All right. Do you want to go first then?
Sure. Okay. I will say there was some, I mean, minus the whole videos and stuff like that, but there was some like interesting like kind of graphics and presentation. Mm-hmm. You know, like sometimes there'll be like weird kind of like graphics like a halo or like little hearts or stars and stuff like neon stuff that'll just kind of appear in the screen, like to emphasize certain points and stuff. Those are fun. There's kind of like interesting like split screen things that they do to get like multiple reactions simultaneously. That was interesting, I thought. Just kind of fun stuff. I mean, those were fun. The flashbacks were fun, simply because, yeah, she was like literally having like PTSD like flashbacks,
right?
Like reliving moments from her past. And, like, I thought that was interesting. But yeah, I mean, just being an abuse survivor and surviving that PTSD, I thought they did a pretty good job with that, you know, like her kind of like locking up and not knowing what to do and how to confront the stuff. And then, you know, again, it's typical kind of survivor behavior. And I thought it was an interesting presentation. That's all I got.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. All that. I thought it was interesting that Treasure died too.
Right.
Like that, you weren't expecting Treasure just to do that. Like, I'm just going to kill you.
Yeah, the second turn, you do not expect. No. Like, the first one, you kind of see coming, right? It's kind of telegraphed early. Mm-hmm. The second one, you don't.
Yeah. I feel that Royal, his name, should have died more gruesomely.
Yeah.
Should have been. He still died, which is great. But,
right.
That's pretty much all I got. I'll roll into my low points. Obviously, pop stars. I can't deal with any of that stuff. Obviously, toxic relationships are bad, and abusive relationships are bad. Like,
wait, what? Are you? Wait, hold on.
I know.
Back the truck up.
It's hard to watch, just because it sucks that much.
That's yeah, kind of the point. It is. I mean, but it's good to confront it. You know what I mean? Like, it's good to like have that shit out in the open to like maybe somebody who's going through it can see it,
mm-hmm.
and see that there's a way through it.
Yeah.
But again, I thought it was done well. I mean, there's a bad way to do it, and this was they did a, you know, respectable job. They like, you know, respected the content.
Yeah. The fan club was awful.
Oh dear God. Like the guy with the patch, like, yeah. What the fuck? Is that a fashion statement?
I don't know. And I was watching it and the wife's going, aren't they all going to get like charged with like accessories of murder and stuff like that? Like,
well, they won't because they weren't there for any of the murders. They didn't know about them.
I think she just really wants something bad to happen to the family.
Oh, they absolutely should. Yes. Yes. They absolutely should. Horrible things should happen to them for sure.
Yeah. And let's face it. We had a full on music video at the end of the episode.
Correct. That is correct.
Full on music video. Like, yep. 3 minutes. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. That I'm like, and
you treasure me, I'll treasure you.
Oh, that was awful.
While we dance on the knife.
Yeah, that's what I got. How about you? Where are your low points?
Yeah, like playing guitar in a band without guitar sounds is like fucking bizarre. Like if it was a keytar, okay. You mm-hmm. can make the keytar play whatever sounds you want it to play. But no, this was a regular guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And she was playing it as if she was making sounds, and it was like nothing happening except other than like synth sounds. I'm like, okay, I don't know what you're trying pretending to do. Yeah, again, the music, I was not a fan of it. Not my bag. I don't know. People that are into pop music would have to tell me if it's good or not. I didn't like it. Right. I mean, I don't know. Those blue wigs were terrible. I don't know. They might be just going for that. It might be like a pop star thing of like make big goofy looking hair that obviously looks fake. I don't know. Too many goddamn pastel colors in this thing. I mean,
yes,
everything is covered in pastel colors. I think that's the point. But, yeah, abuser manipulation is bad. Like you said, Tiger's relationships are bad. nobody likes that. I mean, again, I don't understand why people were afraid of that dude.
No.
Like, he's like 90 pounds soaking wet. Like, why are you threatened? I mean, I understand they're, you know, they're probably about the same size as he is, literally. But like, why is the bar guy afraid of him?
I was
confused at that part. Like, that dude is obviously like, he's a bartender. He doesn't take shit, right? He's a bartender in a music venue. Like,
they're tough as hell.
Right. I was going to say, like, I'm sure he's seen a fight before. Like, I don't think he would be afraid of a 90 pound little fucking, you know, prissy asshole like this dude. I don't, you know, after he's like, you know, gets all wiry crazy with a knife, I get being afraid of that, but like, he's like afraid of him all in the beginning.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't know. Maybe that's the South side of me. but like, there's multiple times where you could have just left. Leave. what are the fan club people going to do?
Like, I gotta pay the $1,000 to leave for an hour.
Yeah, like the fan club people are smaller than Royal is. Like, what are they gonna do? Like, windmill slap you? Like, just run.
And one of them has impaired vision. Just run right past the pet.
Yeah. Just like shake your hands around. He'll like depth perception, like knock him out. Hypnotize him like a chicken.
Exactly.
But yeah, I was just like, why? Where's the fear here? I don't get it. I mean, I get that she's afraid of him because of like past trauma.
Mm-hmm.
But like, she shouldn't be afraid of these fan club people.
No.
Whatever. I don't know. I guess it would ruin the whole plot of the film if she wasn't afraid of it. So we'll just go with that. That's all I got.
All right. I guess I'll go first for the number of heart-shaped boxes for my Valentine 2020. I'll have to go with, I said, a lot of the poppiness really brings it down for me. This is not something I want to rewatch probably ever again, quite honestly. I will go to 4 heart-shaped boxes out of 10. How about you?
I won't go that low. I do like the presentation of like the toxic relationship and like struggling through it and like living through the PTSD. That does a lot for me. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the music and shit either. But at least it's a fun kind of concept. So I'm going to go up to, I'll say 5.5. 5.5 heart-shaped boxes out of 10.
All right. So last up, we have Cupid from 2020. This is going to be another short description because so essentially what happens, we're introduced to a guy on a date with his daughter who looks the same age as him. And then we get like, she's like,
hold on. You got to clarify. He's not on a date with his daughter.
No. He's on a date with a woman who's like, and it's not going well.
Did you watch the same movie that I watched? What the fuck movie did you watch?
No, he's on a date with a woman that's not going well to the point that she leaves the bathroom window.
And then his daughter shows up.
Who looks like the same age as him.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. I was like, whoa, and she's what happened?
I messed up. I summoned Cupid. What? Boom. Arrows.
Yeah. Flightless arrows. Arrows without flights on them.
Yes. To the point where the date gets in the eye, the dad gets like shot in the leg, and then Cupid comes and just shoves the daughter's face into the arrow that's sticking out of her dad's leg, and boom, cut to pseudo witchcraft.
That's real witchcraft.
Yeah, we'll get to that later. And you know, someone tried to do a love spell for the dreamiest man in this high school, I guess. They all look like the same age again.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I think he's supposed to be a teacher.
He is, but yeah. And like, oh, there's this girl that's in the bathroom. Oh, there's that guy in here smoking. And the teacher just walks in. They're like, one of your students has gum in her hair. I go, okay. Why is that a teacher's responsibility? Why is a teacher going to the girls' bathroom for a student that's in high school with gum in here? What the fuck is he going to do?
Right. But like, again, why do you have gum in your hair? It's fucking high school. That's like an elementary school thing.
Yeah. We'll get into all that. So long story short, everyone thinks the teacher is dreamy. He's trying to, like, you know, go on this date with this other teacher. The prince is like, I don't care if you date as long as things stay outside the school. I'm like, they're grown adults. They can date. Whatever.
Some workplaces have no dating policy.
In this country, that is an amalgamation of the UK and America. Sure. Somewhere in the middle.
Again, like, yeah, there's a lot of American accents and there's a lot of, like, English accents, and no one ever comments about what's going on. But the one car that is shown in the film is UK-sided driving.
It is.
So maybe it's a UK school that hires a lot of American teachers. I don't know.
Sure.
And students. I don't know. Yes. Yes.
So anyway, essentially, you know, she thinks that the teacher is the main girl. She thinks Faye, because of course her name's Faye, thinks that the teacher is dreamy. So she's like all into it. And the mean girls at school steal the teacher's phone and then proceeds to text her and as the teacher and make her think that she's doing this stuff. Thinks, hey, send us pictures. Hey, send us videos. And then they proceed to show it at the school and have, like, I don't know, 100 pictures of it plastered on the wall. She's like, oh, what are they going to do? Expel me? I like to see them try. I'm like, yeah, no, you should get expelled.
Okay. Especially, I'm gonna say this now. She should have been beaten with a fucking tow chain.
Yes.
I mean, holy fucking shit. I don't care who she was. I don't care if I was the principal of the school. I would have to punch her on principle.
Yes.
I would have to. I would go to the store, buy a tow chain, come back to the school and fucking beat her to death with it. Holy fucking shit. She's like the worst kind of person.
Yeah. Yeah. And like to put it in, like, in front of students. And keep in mind, if they're in high school, we don't know how old Faye is. It could be child porn for all we know.
Right.
Yeah. And just blast it. She's like, I didn't do anything. You're like, ha ha ha. And then Faye goes, I'll do some black magic and summon Cupid and destroy all love from this school. Now, Solaris, now she's like, why are you so mad at me? Like, you're the reason people kill themselves.
Right.
Like, you could have ruined this girl's entire life. And the teachers.
Right. Yeah. Like, again, just the kind of person who does not give a fuck and just wants other people to suffer no matter how bad it is, no matter how shitty you are. It's like, oh my God, just kill her now. You'll be saving a lot of people a lot of pain in their life. Just kill her now.
Yeah, but anyway, Faye talks to some demon that she can't look at, which means we can't look at them either, to realize that they only have rubber gloves and a cloak.
Because it's death.
Sure.
Which is odd because they don't name... They name Cupid, they name other Roman gods, but they never name death, which I thought was very strange.
Yes. Essentially, Cupid was... We get the exposition storybook... Beginning is like Cupid was in love, blah blah blah, gets his heart torn out, now he kills love. Cool. So she summons Cupid, and Cupid then starts going around and killing people, sometimes with arrows, sometimes just by whooshing sounds that we don't see anything that happens.
Yeah, sometimes the arrows have flights, most of the time they don't. They're just like sharpened balsa wood sticks that fly through the air.
And are very rubbery.
Yes.
Very rubbery.
Yes. Yes.
So anyway, all that's going on there, and you know, the mean girl was trying to, like, do the school dance. She's like, you have to cancel it. You can't make me stay here and clean this up. What do you think you are? I can't get detention. You can. You did really. Detention is the lightest punishment you should be getting.
I said, fucking toe chain. That's the only fucking cure for this problem.
Yeah. So anyway, Faye realizes that she's doing all this stuff as the remaining students of, like, the six students that go to the school there. The poor teacher that's there gets killed, like I said, essentially off screen. She gets killed by off screen things. But we see her body, but nothing ever go into it. You know, they realize, like, oh, this the mean girl's boyfriend shows up. She's trying to leave. Oh, the car won't start. He gets shot a couple times with arrows. They're like, this is poison. Oh, no. Faye's best friend, friend zone. Get shot in the arm.
Yeah, Captain Friendzone.
He is friendzoned hard.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh man, I cast a spell. And they said for 24 hours, you know, we have to just live. And like, oh man, when it hits midnight, it won't be Valentine's Day. 24 hours up. We'll get to that point later. Okay. And they're like, oh man, what happens if we summon, you know, try to get it done? I don't know. Let me consult my black magic book. We'll get to that later. And let me call death. Oh man, it needs a sacrifice. What? A sacrifice? And then like Mean Girl stares at death, and like, you know, if you stare at death, your soul's supposed to be taken, but instead she just gets an arrow through the face.
That's one way to do it.
Yeah. So yeah, it's in, like, oh man, what are we gonna do? Well, Frenzone gets his arm cut off to stop the poison, and then, you know, essentially it's Faye, Frenzone minus an arm, the teacher's maybe girlfriend that's left alive, and midnight happens, everything's fine, the sun comes out at midnight, everything's honky-dory. Oh look, the mean girl kind of gets up and they scare her, so they hit her in the face and she dies. Oh wait, and then we have the teaser for the next movie. All these love spells that didn't work before, I think they're working, Faye. I think I love you. What are we gonna do next? Dun dun dun. End the movie.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck? I was like, what are you talking about?
We can't forget, sorry, I forgot these skin cookies that Cupid cuts out of, you know, like Billy from Black Christmas style with the cookie cutter. And then somehow has the ability to bake them and making people think that they're cookies. Sure.
I mean, that's not one of Cupid's powers, is cookie baking.
I didn't.
You don't know about that?
No.
It's like, no. He hits people with arrows and makes them fall in love.
Mm-hmm.
And then he makes cookies.
Mm. Perfect. Not much else happens.
Made out of human flesh.
Yeah. No one thought it tastes like chicken.
Yeah. Like it would taste like a fucking pig ear. Yep. That's what it fucking tastes like. You're baking skin. That's what it would be. It would be like fucking at best a pork rind.
Yeah. End the movie, because I don't want to discuss the plot of this movie anymore. I don't think I missed anything too egregious.
No, please miss all of it. I'm okay with that.
First thoughts, because I'm not going to rewatch this movie ever.
No.
Is holy shit, this movie is atrocious. And that's why I started looking it up. I go, it's all, it makes sense now.
I was like, the whole time I was like, holy fucking shit, are these like the worst actors I've ever seen? Like, somehow the quality of the filming was better than the acting of these people. It was so bad. The fucking teacher was like the worst actor I think I've maybe ever seen in a film.
Yeah.
Like, wow. It's hard to believe that he was like an actor.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't even call that acting.
A lot of these people are in the other movies, Pooniverse. He does a lot of like grim fairy tales like this. So he's been doing this for a number of years.
Ugh.
And so all it makes sense if I looked up and go, oh, okay. I get it now. Got it. What was your first thought? Other than that, just the.
Yeah, just trash. Well, what I was trying to find out, what the fuck, like where this is set.
Mm-hmm.
And I get like, I guess the car kind of confirmed, like, okay, it's in like, I guess the UK. But like, why is everybody American? I don't know. I was like very confused. Like maybe it's a school for like American consulate children or something. I don't know.
I don't think anyone knows.
Yeah, that was like that. And then I was just like, holy crap, this is like way worse than I thought it was gonna be. I knew it was gonna be cheesy, but like holy shit, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Why don't you go your highlights then?
Okay. I did like the animated intro. I thought it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Roman god lore is kind of sort of rare.
Yeah.
Usually it's, if they're going to go that route, they're going to go Greek, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Romans were just copying off of Greek, but like, it's odd to see like the actual Roman versions of them. That was fun, I guess. The arm cut off scene was fun. I didn't expect them to actually cut off his arm. So that was fun, I guess, also kind of pointless, but
yep.
His arm was fake as shit when it fell off.
For being used cut with a saw, to have that much of a like gnawing off. Yes.
Yeah, it looked like they made a hand out of ground beef. They just slapped it on the ground is what it looked like.
It's entirely possible I had that exact arm sitting on the shelf right next to me.
It was like looked really fake.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's it. that's all I can stretch out of this one.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting having a demon Cupid. That was
well, yeah, it's not, yeah, that's obviously not Cupid. So, like, having an evil Cupid is interesting, I guess.
Yeah.
But, like I said, the intro story was more interesting than the whole rest of the film was.
Yes, I agree. I did appreciate the one song that they had, which I called the Are You Afraid of the Dark music.
I was not paying attention to the music,
I was stretching for things, all right. Skin cookies, always fantastic.
Yum yum.
How you go? Hey, we know that guy. He's a friend of our show because he's been on it. Nick Field.
Oh boy.
We know someone in this movie. Fantastic.
Yay.
I know. I know, right? That's what all I got. I'll roll my low points. As I said before, the father and daughter seemed exactly the same age. Everyone seemed the same age. I'm gonna go with 22 to 24. Teacher in a girl bathroom, not okay. Teenage girls, they suck, especially in this movie. Where does this take place? Don't know. Teacher goes, I gotta finish grading your paper. Okay, this is the dance for February. Then it's summertime. I rewound it. I'm like, did he just say what I think he said? Yes. February 14th. I gotta finish this paper, then it's summertime.
Well, so we got to find out where in the world February is summer. Maybe it's Australia?
I don't know.
So I think Australia has like the reverse seasons than we do.
So the thing is, they all talk about like next week being spring break. So either they don't know what season this is taking place in, or he meant to say spring break and he just said summer and they left it in.
That's probably probably true. Like I said, this dude is like the worst actor I've ever seen.
Poor friend zone. I'm gonna go this is big air quotes black magic book.
Yeah, okay, I don't know what black magic book would have anything about Cupid in it, because like any magic book you're reading is not going to be talking about Roman gods in any way.
I also don't many of them that say in handwriting black magic.
Well, correct. They also wouldn't be handwritten with like swirly girl like heart letters.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we gotta go to the science lab. Why? Oh, there's a vise here. Cool. And a saw. What science are you doing?
maybe they meant to say wood shop.
They think they meant wood shop.
Or maybe their science class is woodshop. I don't know.
But this is the same guy that said summer's happening with spring break. So I don't know.
Again, the worst fucking actor I've ever seen. He probably doesn't even know his lines.
Okay. So we see that at the beginning of the day, Faye cast the spell. And they said 24 hours. So at midnight, it's not 24 hours later. I'm sorry. It's not for the day of Valentine's Day. And the previous 8 hours that happened before the day, it's 24 hours.
Well, again, to be fair, maybe they're Roman hours.
Maybe. Also, as they're towards the end of the scene, as they're running through the hall, as it's approaching midnight, you have the morning sun coming through the windows. So maybe they're in the Arctic Circle where the day is less than 24 hours and the sun's always
out. Every movie does that, where it's like bad things happen at night and then when the movie ends, it's dawn, no matter how ridiculous like of a time stretch that would have been. They always do that.
Yeah.
They have to. It's like a thing.
So like
it's in their contract.
Maybe just a shorter day where the sun's out all day. I don't know. Maybe that's where this is taking place. Right. There's so much conflicting information in the last 10 minutes till midnight that happened in this movie. And then the, like, oh, now the love spell suddenly works, like, teaser for, like, the Cupid 2 Electric Boogaloo. I don't know what the hell is going on with that. it, none of it makes any sense to me. I could go on forever, but I ran out of space on my paper, so I said, I'm stopping.
Yes.
What about you?
Okay. So, I mean, I'll say, I mean, the effects were horrible.
Mm-hmm.
The arrows, the flying, like the blood, I mean, the fake arm, I mean, just holy cripes. I mean, the acting, I mean, woof, dude, holy shit. I mean, I will call out Mr. Jones as being the worst, but they're all fucking terrible. All bad. The bullying with, like, you know, the fucking, like, mean girl click, like, ugh. somebody needs to beat, Elise was her name. Somebody needs to beat her with a fucking tow chain. Like, she was far beyond, like, mean girl.
Yes.
She was, like world destroying. You know, like, some people just want to watch the world burn. That's her. Like, she does not care as long as everybody else is suffering. And then the whole, like, the ending. I don't, what the fuck? What are you talking about? Oh, we killed Cupid. Now all the love spells work? Like, all at once?
Yep.
Like, everywhere in the world where a love spell has been, like, done, like, that's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I've known a lot of creepy guys that have done love spells against unsuspecting women. Like, you're telling me all of that stuff's going to come true now? That's going to be a nightmare.
Yeah. They got to stop it, Faye. They got to stop it somehow.
Stop what?
I don't know. I don't know.
But it's like, don't bone your student. Like, I'm pretty sure that's easy to do.
I would agree. Is that all you got for your low points?
I guess. I don't feel like talking about it anymore.
All right. So then, Salem, how many heart-shaped boxes out of 10 do you give Cupid from 2020?
Solely due to the intro. One. One heart-shaped box out of 10. That's the only reason it got a whole one, is because I really did like the intro, and I really did like Roman gods being mentioned, which is very rare.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, fingers crossed, it becomes part of the Pooniverse.
Yeah. I don't think they had Cupid in the Pooniverse.
Not yet. No.
Was there like a Disney thing about? I don't think there was.
Maybe.
I'm pretty sure there wasn't.
I don't know. I will. Yeah, for the reason you said, and Nick Field, friend of the show, I will give this one as well for heart shaped boxes on that. This is somehow worse than Pinocchio's Revenge.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. It's not a good movie. I mean, it was like, it was a struggle to get through.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's only like an hour and 20 minutes long, but it you feel every second of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, in my head, right, I'm just going to the movies I work on and go, man, I hope ours are better than this.
It won't take much.
I agree. It won't take much, but I'm like, all right, I know what not to do.
There you go.
Maybe you and I will write Cupid 2 for him. How about that?
Well, again, yeah, it's all about zero levels. If your zero level gets low enough, anything above that is now good or better than that. So,
yeah, I think we can see why this was like just critically panned across
the
internet.
Of course, it's trash.
Yes. All right. Anything else you want to add before we wrap up our 2-episode Valentine's Day spectacular?
No.
All right. Well, next week we journey through paranoia with the classic Hitchcock and Jimmy Stewart. So yes, we are talking Rear Window and then watching Shia LaBeouf say no 1,000 times in the modern day remake of Suspiria. And we live life in the razor's edge with Katie Holmes and Disturbing Behavior, because we all remember the 90s like it was yesterday.
It's Disturbia.
What did I say? I said Suspiria, didn't I?
Yes, you did. I was okay, like, Disturbia. I'm pretty sure Shia LaBeouf was not in Suspiria.
He could have been. I don't know.
I've seen it. He was not in it.
Yes. So it's the prelude, the appetizer before we get into all the foreign films we have planned out. So I'm excited. But remember, we watch bad movies, so you don't have to. And remember, do not watch Cupid from 2020. That is a very bad movie.
Well, it depends. If you like the fucking Pooniverse movies, you probably love it.
I do like Pooniverse. I did not like this movie. So, all right. And this has been Graveyard saying, have you checked in the children?
This is Salem saying, long live the new flesh.
Good night.